This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora koutou.
Kia ora.
It's us, Aratoi On Air.
Hi Nick, and so great to be here once again on this beautiful Thursday afternoon to put a spotlight on the arts, culture, practitioners, organisations, all the wonderful people doing great things for our creative community here in Otipoti, Dunedin.
And today we've got a pretty full studio with a bunch of different disciplines represented here. Our first interview today will be with Anna Noonan, the founder and general manager of Dance Otipoti, and she is here to talk about the upcoming, well, not upcoming actually, yesterday was International Dance Day, but the upcoming events for and celebration of International Dance Day that will be taking place over the weekend.
Oh, so cool. Really looking forward to that kōrero. And we're also joined today by Christina Simons and Zach Hoffman from the beautiful establishment Radio 1 91 FM. They're going to talk about, what's in the water down there at campus and some of the things we've got cooking away underneath as part of this Otipoti Ho project as well.
I think this is the most put together we've ever sounded.
Are we doing okay?
We're sounding really kind of professional, and I think it's to make up for the fact that I did a hard cut on the music just then, completely forgetting your advice on how to man this deck here.
I love it.
For context, for everyone listening, I'm a rookie. So anyway, we'll jump straight into our interview with Anna. Kia ora, Anna. It's lovely to have you here today.
Kia ora. Thanks for having me.
I thought we'd start the conversation. I'm going to act like we didn't just talk about it right before we started. But Dance Otipoti, the wonderful organisation that you have founded here in Otipoti, how did that all start?
Yeah, well, it started with a conversation with Lisa Wilkie, actually, back in 2021. And that was around the time that COVID recovery regeneration funds were popping up, and she recommended I head along to one of those intensive weekends where I was able to pitch some ideas in response to some of the issues that they were wanting to address. And they liked what I had to say. We kind of pressure cooked the idea, and by the end of the very intense kind of weekend, Dance Otipoti, the seed funding for it, was granted. So we had $20,000 from that initial support, and from there it was a case of really consulting with community and looking at what is needed, what is wanted, especially post-COVID, and it has basically grown from there.
Amazing. Amazing. It's, quite an amazing thing that you've managed to put together relatively solo. I know you've had a bit of help, obviously, from Lisa and that weekend, and you've from a few others in the community, but really it has seemed from the outside to be quite a solo effort. So kudos for you, to you for that. This year, this International Dance Day will be what number of International Dance Day that has been celebrated? By Dance Otipoti.
Yeah, by Dance Otipoti, this is year number 4, which is amazing. And every year seems to have grown in terms of the groups involved, in terms of the styles of dancers represented, in terms of the scale of the event. So this year definitely is our biggest and best. Wow, they're all wonderful, but yeah.
Some of the things you have planned sound incredibly exciting. Could you take us through, I know you've already talked to me about a couple of big public parts of the event. Could you take us through a couple of exciting parts for you?
Of course, yeah. One of my favourite parts is happening on Saturday morning, and there are absolute beginner classes, dance classes, that are free for the public to jump on board with. There's 8 styles of dances to choose from, and they're just in the format of 30 minutes, a little taster session, so that you can try one or you can line a whole bunch up back to back. Last year, these were super fun and popular, and I'm so glad we can bring them back again and sort of expand what's on offer. And they are taught by amazing teachers across the city, and they're all really experienced, and I'm just excited to give you a little taster and introduction to these types of dance. And yeah, you'll have a good time if you come along.
Whip us through those eight yeah. forms of dance, Hannah.
Sure. Absolute Beginner Ballet, taught by myself. Absolute Beginner Modern Jive. Absolute yes. Beginner, yeah, it's going to be fun. Street, K-pop, Indian, which is going to be a whole mix of Indian styles. Hip-hop, swing, and ballroom. So there is really something for everyone.
Incredible.
In that
ballroom's goated. I did ballroom dancing as a teenager.
Foxtrot.
I watched Take the Lead with Antonia Banderas. And
that was it.
And that was it. My heart was with ballroom from then on.
Amazing.
That sounds so cool. And what a cool collaboration of different teachers yeah, and artists yeah. from across the city.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Everyone in the community is... This is probably one of my favourite things about this festival is that it is so community driven. It's based on the generosity and the creativity and the spirit. So, yeah, everyone just brings their best to it and just wants to share what they love.
Yeah, beautiful. And what we love at Aratoi as well, that community involvement in the arts. So good. Mm. So it opens on Friday evening, yes?
Yes, it does. We have a more sector-focused event. So it's a sort of opening with a few performances and then a chance for members of the dance community to connect and network, which is really exciting because there haven't been that many opportunities to do that in general. And also with the, you know, just the funding climate and the amount of dance performances, for example, that happen across the year, there's sort of been quite a decrease that we've really noticed and mapped. But like that's an opportunity for people to meet and bump into each other and connect and sort of without those kind of things and post-COVID, yeah, I think having chances to connect is really, really important. And actually having an opening event feels like a big deal because yeah, that hasn't kind of been possible in the same way before.
So important. And it just builds the excitement in the community as well. Yeah. I mean, there are just so many benefits to it, right?
Yeah.
Building the excitement, the exposure to dance for a lot of people who might not have considered themselves dancers or, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
I like how we keep looking at the Radio 1 crew when we say might not consider themselves dancers. It's like we're skewering them. Excuse Hang on, I'll...
How dare you? How very dare you? I studied dance when I was a kid. I did creative dance. Thank you very much.
Amazing.
I think we're going to come to regret that statement in the next interview.
I didn't say anything.
Well, I might have to leave then to ensure the peace of the studio. So I know you've got a huge number of community groups and individuals involved in the celebrations this year. How many are... Taking part.
There are a huge number. There are, last count, 37 to 38 groups involved from across the city, which is very literally hundreds of people. It's wonderful. It's so exciting. And
what was left unsaid in that was I enjoyed that.
I was about to say it. No, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Of course. The unsaid part is there's a lot of comms and a lot of organisation behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
But thankfully, they're all lovely humans and very patient. So they are all ready to go this weekend. And there are things happening across the city for every age, for all the styles that are involved. So of those 37 to 8 groups, there are 25 different styles of dance represented, which I think is phenomenal for a small city and just so cool that one weekend we can kind of showcase all of that and then increase the visibility and the access to that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I think there are often festivals and have been over the years for different forms of performing arts, but I can't think of one in a big festival with huge community involvement like this for dance before. So I think you're doing such amazing work. Amazing work.
Cheers.
I was going to ask something else then. What was I going to ask? Oh, no, it's totally dropped out of my brain.
The event is open to people of all ages. Tell us about accessing these events.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of if you're interested and excited about finding out more, there's our Facebook pages and Instagram pages. We've got lots of pinned posts, but you can read up about each event in those social media pages. Mm. We have a mailing list, which we send the program to if you're ever interested in joining that. That link is also on our social media pages. But in terms of the general run of the event, yes, we do have things for all ages. Some really family-friendly and free events kick off on Saturday morning at Wall Street Mall, actually. They've been really supportive, as well as Meridian. They are so fabulous. They've opened their doors and arms to us this year. So 10:45 a.m., there is a dress-up and dance event, and there's a beautiful array of costumes and some lovely dance coaches who will lead your little ones through a little boogie, and that's suitable for ages 3 to 8. Of course, that's just a guide. You can come if you're a bit younger or a bit older. That's absolutely fine. No problems. And it's free to enjoy. There's also going to be some face painting and balloon twisting from Han Arts in preparation for the George Street party. And we have the road closed to traffic from 12 till 3. And in that time, on the Mall block, so between Hanover and St. Andrew Street, we have a whole bunch of amazing performances happening, as well as activations, so chance to have a wee boogie if you'd like to. We've even got a disco, so the face painting will be a wonderful preparation for the disco. The disco is there'll be a live DJ set up on the George Street stage, and Aaron Hawkins is our DJ this year.
Boots
so it's
going to
be a fun time.
That is massive. That is absolutely massive. Thank you so much, Anna. I'm really, really excited for this weekend, and I hope, I'm sure the community are as well. So if you want to get along to the International Dance Day celebrations, things will be opening from tomorrow evening, the 1st of May, and carrying on through to Sunday, the 3rd of May. There are events happening, particularly around the Centre City, but all over the place. And the best place is to check out the Dance Otupoti's social media to find a comprehensive list of where to go, who will be teaching, all that sort of stuff. So, yes, thank you so much, Anna.
Thank you, Nick.
And we'll be right back after a short break with Zach and Christina from Radio 1. Kia ora koutou.
Or 105.4 FM.
So good to hear about all that amazing stuff during International Dance Day. Now, though, we're joined by two legends in the local game, Zach Hoffman and Christina Simons from down there at Radio 1, 91 FM. And I don't know, it'll be a sprawling conversation. We're heading into New Zealand Music Month. We can all dance.
About 11 hours away from Music Month.
This is a crossover episode.
It is a crossover episode. I was actually going to mention the fact that dance, I couldn't learn steps because I only wanted to dance to the music. I didn't, you know, like it was the music for me.
More freeform expression.
Yeah. Hence the creative dance.
Yes.
Which is just beautiful. And it is like interpretive, I'm not going to lie. But it also saved me from a horrific time at my high school.
Oh.
You know, like because I could go and have these dance classes with these lovely people and,
That's be so a music true. Nerd. The power of community that forms around the performing arts. Mm.
And really the Puhoi Hall.
Puhoi Hall.
Shout out.
Like Puhoi Valley? Like the
Yeah.
I like that you mentioned ballroom dancing because the best dance name, the Gay Gordon, is of course a ballroom dance.
It is.
Yeah.
Best I think name, actually the Gay Gordon name. Is a new Vogue.
No, it's a ballroom dance. No,
is it?
No. No, I'm just being silly Billy.
Yeah, fine. No, which is within ballroom.
Yes.
I'm gonna get nerdy on you.
No, go.
It's
please
within
do.
Ballroom, but it is there are kind of three strands. You have your Latin, ballroom, and your new Vogue, which all sit under the umbrella of ballroom dancing.
Fascinating.
There's a headphone swap going on in here. Ooh. We like to make sure you're visually engaged listening to Aratoi on air as well. Anyway, I'm going to shut up.
No, I wanted to bring that up because ballroom also suggests the late 80s, early 90s queer Vogue thing, and I'm going to be going to the first Australasian ball in Melbourne in June.
Amazing.
Yeah, because it's so funny how words are like that, right? They all have different meanings, like garage music. What the hell is that? There's about five different genres. Mm. Anyway.
Pigeonholes. Interesting. And it's funny how intrinsically dance and music, you know, they are so... They wouldn't exist without one another,
hand
maybe?
In hand.
No. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Philosophical question. It's too early for that. But New Zealand Music Month is coming up. And,
tomorrow, even.
If you've been keeping an eye on Aratoi's social media presences and maybe some ODT articles, you will have worked out that we are releasing a compilation of young Māori Pacifica contemporary music coming out of Otipoti Dunedin called Otipoti Ho. And as part of that project, we're offering a bunch of mentorship opportunities to young people in the city, young and old people. Anyone, actually, that wants to take part can do it.
Rock and roll.
Mm. And the crew at Radio 1 so graciously stepped up and are providing some of those learning platforms for the community. Christina and Zach and Adelaide and Fee
and Lily.
And Lily, I believe, are all involved in
Power Team.
Yeah.
A true, like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers with different colours and skills.
So true. Oh, we could have done some branding around that.
Trying to fight the evil monster.
That is Spotify. Oh.
That is capitalism, my friend.
That is capitalism. That's better.
The Power Rangers will play Doc Martens. That'd be us.
Yeah. thank you for that. And let's dip into what those programs are and what they're designed to do leading up to this release event on Friday, May 22nd. What are you offering the community?
I am offering. I don't think anyone took me up on my how to translate your sound into a visual thing. I just thought that there will be some people that would want to get comfortable in front of camera, and some people are fine with that. I think it's a different generation for a start that are way used to having their photo taken. But there was a time, and I think it still is a skill to translate what your sound is, how you want to be represented without doing some cheesy sort of influencer shots. But obviously this group are good with that. So that's really cool. The other thing Lily and I are both offering is like EPKs, which is the sort of industry term for how you send stuff in to a radio station or even a news outlet, or even when you're doing a gig, you need a press photo, you need a description or a bio of what your sound is, what you do, like how you present yourself. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways of doing that. And Lily and I have seen terrible examples of this and amazing examples
of
this.
You're on the front line of receiving those things.
Yeah, because we receive them all the time. It's a bit basically like a CV that you send to radio stations, that you send to lots of different places, and sometimes you adjust things as you go, but it's really good to get some other people's eyes on it, just to go, actually what I expect from this is this. So
such a helpful kind of skill for a young musician in particular to develop when they're making those first steps into earplay and putting themselves out there into the world.
I mean, you're flying blind when you first start out.
No one tells you what to do.
Yeah, and I mean, Zach's helping out in the same way with how to get playlisted.
How to train the dragon,
How to train the dragon, that's right. What are the tricks? back in my day.
You got a CD, didn't you?
I'm just thinking the art of persuading a music director or a program director to have your music play changes from day to day. And, I remember people coming in with a glass of red wine dressed in pajamas saying, play my track. And I was like, I'd love to, How much have things changed? What is music directing kind of doing in 2026? Well, how are you pulling and or how are people pushing music to you?
The pajama and wine clad musician knocking on my door is at an all time low, unfortunately. Yeah. If they came around more often, I'd probably be more inclined to play less than music.
I'll see you this weekend.
But it's really fascinating. I've stepped into the role as music director in January and I'm still figuring out what looks good on paper. I have a preference for when people send me a little bit and not too much. Yeah. You know, a small EPK for playlisting is really useful. Be like, this is our band. We're from XYZ in the country and they have a stable link to whatever music they're putting out. Yes. If they send a Spotify link, I'm not going to listen to it because I can't download from Spotify. So you've got to make it easy for the director to download and access, which is why I recommend people use things like Dropbox and private SoundCloud accounts are really good for that as well. Also, always attach a WAV file. And also, I think it's really, because you don't really know what it means to be playlisted. Like some people think it means you're going to get played at a certain time on a certain day. So I think a big part about the talk that will be that I'll be giving on the 24th of Sunday at Te Whare Ora Kutia is actually, what is playlisting? What is it? Because what we do when you send in a song and we say we like it is we put it in a big folder that will get randomly played on air at some point in time. It's hard to say when exactly because it's completely randomized. But that's what playlisting is. It's not you get played on a certain day at a certain time, as some people seem to get misconstrued about. But yeah, I think adding not too much, the pool of reality is really small to draw from. So saying that you're the most exciting, new, innovative band of all time might not be the best few adjectives to describe your band sound. I think it's really useful to add for fans of as a way to get people in the mindscape of whatever music you're doing. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing an indie thing, you can be like, oh, it sounds like Joan Baez, or it sounds like yada, yada, yada.
I think that's really useful.
It's a hard thing for musicians.
She's folk. I'm saying she's folk. Folk.
But it was a very odd reference.
Yeah, I thought. I was listening to some Joan Baez this morning. So
Did you watch the Bob Dylan movie?
I did watch the Bob Dylan movie. It wasn't super crazy.
What a cad.
Yeah, you can say that again. But yeah, music playlisting is a whole field. It's a whole crazy little minefield.
Field of study. Yeah. So that, the 24th, Sunday the 24th at Te Whare Ora Kutia. If you are interested, which you definitely should be. That is able to book. You're fine. That is able to be booked on Humanitix, and you can find the link on our Instagram. There's also a Facebook event up for it, I think. So yeah, have a wee gander for that, because Zach is amazing and wonderful. And
I'll stop it.
Yeah,
we'll pass the knowledge on, Christina.
I just wanted to rudely interrupt to just say that playlisting has multiple advantages. One, it's very good for your funding for New Zealand On Air. When you go to get funding, there's a lot of questions they ask about, have you been playlisted in a radio station? Have you done this? Have you done that? And it's really important. The other aspect of it is that if lots of people like it, you could be on a top 10 or a top 11 in Radio 1's case, and that could potentially get you into the SRN, which is all the student radio stations around the motu. And like that's prestigious, but it's also useful industry wise. And if you think of like Marlon Williams has just won the Tate Prize, he started out on student radio, he started being playlisted, he started winning awards. You know, it's a pathway basically.
We can't understate the value of student radio, community radio, places like Otago Access Radio, so 91 FM. Yeah. Really community spirited, and it's a really beautiful, important thing.
And we want to help you. That's the other thing.
That's our job. That's a goddamn job.
But we're all passionate about music and lots of different genres of music, and we're very open to lots of different genres of music, and we've all got like quite broad tastes. You only have to listen to Zach's morning show to realise how broad his taste is.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
There is one kind of music I will say people shouldn't submit through. That's AI music. Don't submit that to student radio places. We probably won't get playlisted.
I'm going to hard agree with you on this.
I have gotten a few people send through AI stuff from New Zealand, and it's been like, It's been, what are you doing?
Gives you the ick. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, look, thank you both for taking the time and being involved in this wonderful Utiputiho project. You'll be able to find more information on the other workshops and things we're doing as part of the Utiputiho project if you go to our Instagram.
And in particular, for those one-on-ones as well that Christine was talking about earlier, there will be information about those going up very soon if you want to get involved with those. There will be limited slots. Yes. So get in there.
Yeah, our handle is Aratoi Otiputi on Facebook and Instagram. Just get along and dig into our link tree and you should be able to find some relevant information there. Kia ora kōrua. Really nice to see you both again.
I just want to say thanks for making this
a
thing.
It's
like,
so cool.
It makes my heart warm. So many people think of the Dunedin sound as guitar bands of white dudes almost exclusively, and I think you're really breaking that perception, and it's a beautiful thing. So,
Tautoko, yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time today.
Of course.
You've been tuned to Aratoi on Air. Follow us on social media if you'd like to learn a little bit more about what we get up to. 100 Years of Friends of Tuhura is up next on Otago Access Radio.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.